Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it's the 22nd of July, 2013, and this is the Affair Recovery Library and EMS call. So we've got several questions today. So let's move on to those questions. First question. My husband has been living out of our house for the past 16 months. I told him after about a week that I was moving on, and shortly thereafter he told me that he was going to start seeing another woman, to which I blew up at him, accusing him of already having that relationship going on, and that's why we couldn't get along. He still is still in this adulterous relationship. I feel that the Lord told me to turn around and stay married and pray for reconciliation. That's when I gave my life to the Lord. My husband has known all of this all the time and known that I've loved him the entire time and want our marriage to continue. He's been back and forth between the AP and me for the entire time, but never moving back home. He's struggled with feelings and the situation, not knowing if he should do the right thing, which would be to move back home and stay married, or follow his heart and pursue the relationship with his affair partner. Our two teenage sons live with me. They don't know about the other woman as far as one of us telling them. Last month, I told him I did not know how much more of this I could take, to which he said he would file for divorce and told our sons that we're going to get a divorce. He continues to talk to me via phone and text me as if nothing has happened. He calls to talk on his way home from work, asking about my day and telling me about his day. So, my question is, we agree that communication with each other has improved since we separated. So my question is, should I continue to talk with him and tell him I love him as we say goodbye? Should I stop inviting him out to eat with us or to come over? Obviously, he's ambivalent, and he really doesn't have to make a decision because you've made a decision for him. Well, you're allowing this at this point. In my opinion, love acts in the best interest of another person, and I don't know that this is necessarily a really healthy situation for you. Not maybe, I'm not sure, not enough information. What I'll say is, if the two of you can have a good relationship for the sake of your boys, that's great. However, at some point I would quit probably telling him you love him, because that's more of a relationship thing, and I think that probably you're going to need to let go so that he's got to decide. The second thing I would say, sometimes it's far more difficult for the hurt spouse to, or the one who's been hurt the most, who wants a relationship the most, to maintain a friendship after the relationship is done, just because of the pain involved. And you may find that it's almost impossible to continue this at this point. I think that it's easy for him to text you and to talk to you as if nothing's wrong if he doesn't really care about the relationship. Honestly, if he cares about the relationship, it'd be far more painful to him. So please take care of yourself in this situation. I mean, my first caveat would be, do what God tells you. On the other hand, beyond that point, if he's still playing both of you against each other, I would go ahead and let go. You're probably the only one capable of doing that. At this point, he most likely is not going to decide, and you're the only one who can probably make a move. If he decides that he wants you, once you decide to back out, be very careful about even what you do in terms of picking back up. If you tell him you love him, at one level, he probably goes the other way a little bit, so I would cut that out and just sit there and say, look, I know the path I want, and I know what I'm looking for. This isn't it. And then begin to take that path, and we'll see what he does in the long run. But I would go ahead and start cutting it back, especially if it's painful for you. You don't have to do this, and most likely it's not going to change his position. So, for our second question. We attended EMS December 2012. Without that, I don't think we could have survived. Our D-Day is a year today, 7/22, 2012. The discovery was at our vacation home. That's where we now live as our primary residence, as we're starting our new life. Our 33rd anniversary is 7/19, and we've already made plans to have a nice romantic dinner together. We're trying really hard to move forward to make new memories in our marriage. It's difficult for my husband with the triggers daily, knowing that on 7/22/2012, at 6 p.m., he discovered that I was having an affair. My heart breaks for him, as it seems to overtake his thinking by playing the video back in his mind. And the why is always there. We're continuing to work daily on our marriage and getting through the extremely difficult journey with God's help and a fair recovery. Can you please give my husband and I some advice on what we should do this evening at 6 o'clock, as it is D-Day? I suggested we get out of the house and sit by the lake and watch the sunset. I don't want to cause him any more pain than I already have. We've stayed in contact with a couple from our EMS group, and we can't say enough about how being connected to one another has helped us put one foot in front of the other, and how we love this friendship that has grown. They even came to visit us in California a few weeks ago, and we were so sad to see them go. Thank you for all of that, Rick, and for a fair recovery. Though through this pain, we found some friends that God has truly blessed us with and who understand. We know you said it would be 18 to 24 months, but the year mark is really hard. Thanks again for all you do and for your weekly newsletters. They're an inspiration, painful, but great wisdom. So I am so proud of you guys for getting to this day. That is amazing. And for passing your 33rd anniversary. That is a testimony to what God can do. So, I think your idea of going to the lake and making a new memory is really important. Getting someplace where it's the two of you are connected. I would maybe even go beyond that and say, you know, let's talk about the things that have happened, that God is, what God has done over this past year. What are the blessings that we've come to? We know it's still hard. It's going to be hard. It's the 1 year anniversary, as we talked about before. But doing something for the two of you that at least commemorates that moment, it can't be too special. It's almost like trying too hard. But certainly, I think you also writing, one other thing, you writing him a letter telling him how much you appreciate the fact that he's given you a chance, that he stayed with you, that he's still there with you at this 1 year anniversary, and what that means to you, and how happy you are to be with him, and how glad you are you married him. If you can give him those messages, I think it would be huge and would probably help take away some of that pain as he looks back on all of this. I just think it would be helpful, and hopefully it would make a new and a powerful memory for the two of you as you go forward. And just remind yourselves that by next year this time, things will even be far better, and he won't be dealing, I think, with the whys and the intrusive thoughts of a year ago. So God bless you, and keep up the good work. Finally, my husband has been addicted to pornography for 15 plus years. The books that I have read, and even in the Everyman's Battle conference that he went to recently, speak of rewiring your brain, that after 60 to 90 days, there's not the feeding the addiction anymore, and you'll be able to turn away from the things that aroused you in the past and create new healthy sexual desires within the marriage. From listening to the video on this subject, it sounds like you explained the arousal template always being the same, and that it's just part of how you're made up, that the things that aroused you in the past will always arouse you, even if you know they're not healthy or normal in the Christian marriage bed. Can you clarify this? And as the follow-up, how much detail do you suggest that I know about his arousal template in regards to his addiction to pornography? I feel like the information is important, but wonder if finding out these things, if it's not healthy, what he was into, that it might also be damaging. One of the biggest fears I have is not ever being able to be enough because of all the images and fantasies that he had, and wonder how knowing those things could impact that. So, first off, the arousal template is really not a problem in a sense that it's probably difficult for a woman to understand, but it's just the things that will catch a person's, a guy's attention in a sexual way. It's not something they necessarily have a desire for. So when you read in recovery books that those desires change, they do. There's no longer a desire to go to that place. In fact, there's almost a, can be a repulsion to that, but it doesn't mean that it still can't be something that catches one's attention. So sexual desire can be defined in by three components. The first component is going to be what we call the limbic system. It's a physiological aspect, and that's the arousal template. You know, someone gets pinged, they see something, they go, oh. Now, the second one is about a belief, and the third one is about choice or will. So let me give you how those three components work. Let's say that someone sees something or thinks of something that is in that arousal template, and so the limbic system says, you know, it pings and you get a physical sensation. But if you believe that that's not healthy, it's not something you really want, then immediately you're going to shift your mind away from that. So if someone sees somebody that's really attractive, they don't believe sex outside of marriage is good, that's under control, they see them, they'll just bounce their eyes or go on to something else. And the third component, choice, they certainly aren't going to choose to pursue that. So let's say that let's pass it around, let's say my wife, maybe I see... I find her to be very attractive, so she pings my limbic system. I feel that sexual arousal. I do believe that being sexual with her is healthy, so I don't have any barrier any longer in my belief system. But I'm mad at her, so I don't want to have sex. At that point, I really don't have full desire. So what happens is someone goes into recovery, the intensity of the draw or the power of the temptation begins to decrease. So even though something might have been there, it's not something, they may notice something, but it's not something they want to go toward at that point. And in that sense, it's really changed. Last but not least, you mentioned about the, would it be good for you to know about his arousal template? And I would say absolutely not. It's not even that healthy for him to talk about it. And certainly, it doesn't define him. I know that temptation doesn't define us, because if the things that we notice that are tempting to us defined us, then the person with the most temptations would be the vilest person, and I think that would be Jesus himself. So I know that that's not ultimately the defining point. Just because something's in there that we might have seen as tempting doesn't mean there's a desire. In fact, temptation is important. His arousal template, for instance, is important only in the sense that it begins to show you how much he loves you, because he foregoes something else that would be maybe tempting out of love for you. It's where love is defined. That's why God even put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. If there hadn't been another option for us to choose against, we could never choose to love God. We would just be puppets or marionettes. So in that sense, I can see no benefit in you understanding his arousal template. It's not even about you. You are about oneness. The other is just about really fantasy and masturbation, and you don't want to even go into that realm. Making love to you as his wife is really about learning to care for another, to release himself to another, to become one with another. And his arousal template has nothing to do with any of that. So, no, I don't think you should learn about his arousal template. So that's the end of our questions today. I hope everybody has a great week, and I look forward to talking to you guys next Monday. Be sure to get those questions posted. To healing.